coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Sunday Cantata with Pastor Tapani Simayoki.
Words have been set to music for pretty much as long as people have been singing. This can work in two different ways. Either a composer takes a set of words and writes music for those words, or a composer writes some music and a writer writes some words to fit the music. For the vast majority of composers of art music, or what is popularly but inaccurately referred to as classical music, and in much folk music as well, is the former process of music set to words that has dominated. Only in the last century or so, with the advent of that other misnomer, light music, music called jazz, musical theatre, pop music and so on, that a large quantity of music has been produced the other way around, words written to music. If you are a composer setting words, someone else's, your own, you may run up against the problem, an inferior poet, or at least indifferent poetry. That problem is going to be particularly acute if you happen to be a superior composer. It's going to be that much harder to find texts whose quality matches that of the music. But here the problem turns into an opportunity. A great composer can take a less than great text, and by combining it with great music, transform it into a part of something far greater than itself. In this way, Wilhelm Müller's self-absorbed cycles of poems, which in themselves would never have set the world alight, were made utterly unforgettable when Franz Schubert set them as Die schöne Müllerin and Winterreise. And this is also the story of much of the Christian verse set to music as the cantatas of Johann Sebastian Bach. Hello, I'm Tapani Simayoki, and this is Sunday Cantata for the 17th Sunday after Trinity. Thanks for tuning in to Lutheran Radio UK. It used to be rather fashionable among Bach scholars of the past to bemoan the fact that Bach had such poor texts to work with. Surely such great music could have done with greater poetry. However, as far as we know, Bach himself never made the same complaint, even though his artistry was second to none. For him, church music was never primarily about the art. Rather, it was church music, written for the church's worship, for the spiritual edification of the Christian congregation. He was after theological rather than literary merit. Which may explain why Bach was content to set the text that forms the libretto of today's cantata, BWV 47, Wer sich selbst erhöhet, der soll erniedrigt werden, first performed in Leipzig on the 13th of September, 1726, as part of Bach's third cycle of cantatas written in that city. The poet, and I use the term loosely, behind the libretto was a court official in Eisenach, incidentally the hometown of both Bach and Martin Luther, named Johann Friedrich Helbig. The quality of the poetry has been described variously as nugatory, of limited literary merit, or unusually meagre. Yet, out of this poor material, Bach created what is perhaps the finest of the three cantatas for this Sunday that survive today. Yet again, music not merely ornaments words, but lifts them and gives them additional power. Helbig's collection of texts was entitled Aufmunterung zu Andacht, Encouragement to Worship. Perhaps on their own, his creations were a rather weak encouragement. By the time J.S. Bach was finished with them, his near-doggerel verses were anything but weak in their encouragement. The opening movement sets a direct quotation of words of Jesus from today's Gospel reading from Luke chapter 14. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. For any Baroque composer, trained in the vast range of word painting techniques, this text is pure gift, with his imagery of lifting up and bringing down. Bach makes most of this gift. He starts with a lengthy orchestral introduction for which he borrows the opening chords and various other musical ideas from his own C minor prelude and fugue for the organ, written in Weimar in 1514, BWV 546. Already, the music is moving distinctively up and down. This opening ritornello leads to a lengthy choral double fugue whose main subject sets the tone. The tenors introduce the subject of the fugue, climbing up to a high G on the word erhöhet, exalts. and then climb down again on Erniedriget Werden, is humbled or brought low. 5 minutes of such seesawing music should drive the point home even for the dullest-eared member of the congregation. Yet the musical intricacy, sophistication, and beauty of this movement is such that the tone is neither repetitive nor hectoring. I should add a passing observation of Bach's skill in creating vastly complex musical structures. Here, he superimposes a four-part choral fugue, with the four parts imitating one another but moving independently, over a multi-layered orchestral movement full of imitation and echo, but with musical material that is entirely distinct from the choral parts, all to create a coherent whole without a hint of confusion or over-elaboration. We now have the first taste of Helbig's poetry, an exhortation to humility that doesn't mince its words. The translation from BachCantatas.com is by Francis Brown. Whoever wants to be called a true Christian must be concerned with humility. Humility comes from Jesus' kingdom. Haughtiness is like the devil. God is accustomed to hate all those who do not abandon arrogance. Bach takes the harsh edge off this text with his setting of these words as an aria for solo soprano. The tone is one rather of pleading than tub-thumping, almost a prayer. The music itself displays the humility to which the words call the Christian. Just as the first part depicts the humility it calls for, the second section of the aria, decrying haughtiness, likewise does so in haughty tones, before the first half is again repeated. Thus, even if not everyone in the Leipzig churches was paying full attention to the words of the singer, and it appears that frequently, noisy inattention was a frustration for clergy and musician, audible change of atmosphere would have both drawn the hearer's attention and communicated the message of the words. The accompaniment features a lyrical solo instrument part, which at some point at least was performed on the organ, probably with a composer at the keys. However, the style of writing and some other clues suggest that a solo violin was also used in some performances and may indeed have been Bach's original intention. Next comes an accompagnato, an accompanied recitative for bass. In a style that was traditional on either side of the Reformation, it puts the arrogance of humanity in its place both by a frank estimation of mankind's true worth and by comparing it to the humility of Christ. Man is filth, stench, ash and earth. Is it possible that from overweening pride as one of the devil's brood, he is still deluded? Our Jesus, Son of God, Creator of everything, for our sake became humble and insignificant. He endured disgrace and mockery. And you, poor worm, do you try to boast about yourself? Is this how a Christian should behave? Go and be ashamed of yourself, you arrogant creature. Feel repentance and follow in Christ's footsteps. Throw yourself down before God in faith. In his own time, he will raise you up again. Yet again, Bach takes the edge of the words. He doesn't shy away from them, but apparently feels no need to go to town over the harsh but fair words of condemnation, but does make a genuine effort to make the humility of Christ and the promise of the exaltation of the humble shine by making the accompanying string shimmer in warm harmonies. Helbig may not have been a poetic genius, but he knew the Bible. It's all very well to tell sinful men and women to be humble and to repent of their arrogance. But how can sinners stop sinning when they are sinful? Unless Jesus gives that which he speaks of. Therefore, the promise of Jesus' gracious work of lifting up the humble now leads to a prayer, asking him to produce the repentant humility for which he himself calls. Jesus, bend therefore my heart beneath your strong hand, so that I do not forfeit my salvation as the first fire of hell. Let me seek your humility and curse arrogance completely. Give me a humble mind so that I may be pleasing to you. The dance-like duet of the solo violin and oboe create an atmosphere of hope and trust in Jesus' help. Striking harmonies over the word hell and the florid arrogance emphasize key words, but only as punctuation in an otherwise serene landscape. The closing movement is an imaginative harmonization of the 11th verse of a hymn from 1560 by Hans Sachs, Warum betrübst du dich, mein Herz? Why do you trouble yourself, my heart? Set to an anonymous melody. Worldly honor I shall do without completely, if you will only grant me what is eternal, that you have won through your harsh, bitter death. I ask you for this, my Lord and my God. Yet another Picardy cadence, a major chord at the end of a movement in a minor key, brings this cantata to a peaceful close. We will now hear a complete performance of Johann Sebastian Bach's cantata number 47, Wer sich selbst erhöhet, der soll erniedriget werden, by Bach Collegium Japan, conducted by Masaki Suzuki, with the Czech soprano Hanna Blažíková and the Dutch bass Peter Coy singing the solo movements. This recording is from volume 47 of Bach Collegium Japan's cycle of the complete sacred cantatas of Bach, published by the Swedish record label BIS and made available to Lutheran Radio UK by eclassical.com.
Mensch ist Kot, Staub, Asch und Erde. Ist's möglich, dass vom Überblut als einer Teufelsblut er noch bezaubert werde? Ach, Jesus, Gottes Sohn, der Schöpfer aller Dinge, ward unsertwegen niedrig und geringen. Er dulde Schmach und Hohn. Und du, du armer Vor, suchst dich zu brüsten. Gehört sich das für einen Christen? Ich schäme dich, du stolze Kreatur, tu Buß und folge Christi Spur. Wirf dich vor Gott im Geiste gläubig seiner Zeit, erhüt er dich auch
That was cantata number 47 by Johann Sebastian Bach, Wer sich selbst erhöhet, der soll erniedriget werden, performed by the choir and orchestra of Bach Collegium Japan with soloist Hanna Blazikova and Peter Coy, conducted by Masaaki Suzuki. Join me again next week. In the meantime, if you would like to be in touch, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk and delve into Lutheran Radio UK's website to find out more of Lutheran Radio goodness by listening to our programmes past and present whenever you like, wherever you like. I'm Tapani Simojoki, pastor of Our Saviour Lutheran Church in Fareham, Hampshire, and you are listening to Lutheran Radio UK.